When God controls the mind, Satan cannot lead the believer astray.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, we will hear the concluding part of Pastor Brian Grant's message entitled, Stand Your Ground, and taken from the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. In the first part of Pastor Grant's message, which aired last week, we heard how there are three things every Christian must understand and know in order to withstand the wiles of the devil. We heard how a Christian must know that the enemy, the devil, has a personalized strategy to defeat them and render them powerless. But secondly, we heard how God has supplied every one of his saints with all the armor necessary to defeat the attacks of the devil. We heard about the belt of truth. We heard about the breastplate of righteousness. And if you missed last week's message, you can view the entire video either on our church website, www.gcafamilychurch.org, or on Facebook. Now this evening, Pastor Grant will conclude his message, Stand Your Ground. Here again is Pastor Grant.
Tell you, when we come to him in repentance, when we come to him in independence and letting him know that we admit that we're not all that the people think we are, God is going to help us. Amen. Listen, the breastplate of righteousness, but third, the shoes of the gospel. The shoes of the gospel. He says, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 15. You see, the Roman soldier wore sandals with hobnails in the soles to give him better footing. There were these things in his soles that allowed him to have good footing. The Christian who is always ready to share the gospel will have better footing against Satan. I'm going to explain that a little more. But put this in your notes. Every Christian must always be prepared to share the gospel. Try and visualize this. Each time we allow the devil to scare us from sharing our faith, what are we doing? We are actually backing down. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever been in a situation where you know you ought to say something, but you didn't? What really were you doing? You're backing down. So here you are. God is saying, stand your ground. But instead of standing your ground, no, I can't say it. People may think bad about, oh, what they're going to think about me. Well, as long as you're backing up, you will never be able to stand your ground. We will never be able to stand up to the devil if we're always backing up. And I'm here to tell you that witnessing does matter. I hope you see the connection. You see, sometimes we detach witnessing from our lives and we make it seem like, I can witness if I want to, but I'll still be a stronger Christian. You will not be a stronger Christian if you're afraid to witness, because you're backing up. You're backing up. Am I making any sense? But every time you stand your ground, you're scared to death. You see, God is not only calling you to witness when you're not scared. It's actually good when you're scared. Because when you're scared, you say, Jesus, I'm depending on you. Amen. Jesus, I'm depending on you. Stand your ground. And it gets a little easier and a little easier and a little easier. Listen, I wrote down a phrase that somebody had. It's not mine. I don't remember where I got it from. Here's what it says. The most victorious Christian is a witnessing Christian. Is that in your notes? If not, put it there. The most victorious Christian is a witnessing Christian. And so I need to ask you this morning, are you a witnessing Christian, or are you one of the Christians who is backing up, backing up, backing up? May God help us, because when we witness, little by little, we are actually getting more grounding and we'll be able to stand up better to the evil one. You know, I'm concerned at GCA, although most of us know the gospel, I am discovering that many of us are afraid to share it. This is scary. If in a church like this, that claims to be an evangelical, mission-minded church, a Bible-believing church, a church whose motto is to know Christ and make Him known, it is scary that many of our members are still afraid to share the gospel. The devil is waging war, and God has entrusted us with the gospel of peace. And I'm going to encourage you, my friend. In fact, at the end, I'm going to say some more about what's happening here on Saturday. Because we need to seize the opportunities to share the gospel of Christ with a dying world. Listen, you don't know how people are going to respond. A week before I went to Jamaica, I was having lunch with some folks in Delaware. And, you know, they were talking to me about what they wanted to do when they died with their assets. Folks in their 70s. And I listened, and as I'm talking to them, we're talking all this money talk, the Lord is saying to me, So are you going to ask them the question? Are you going to ask them the question? And so I did. So I said to them, it's good to know we have planned for the kids. But you know what? When it's your death, that's going to make them get all this money. But your death is going to make you meet God. Are you ready to meet Him? The poor lady, why she was so stunned by that question coming out of nowhere. She stopped. And then she said to me, no. So I said to her, would you like to know how to get ready? She thought for a moment. She said, is there a way to know? I said, yes. Would you like to know? She said, yes. And I shared the gospel right there at that seafood restaurant, whatever it's called, out in Willow Grove. They have one in Willow Grove. And right there as we sat, this lady right at the table received Jesus Christ as her Savior. When I came back from Jamaica, there was a card at my office thanking me for introducing her to her new journey. And I'm going to say, does it always go that easy? No. But I want to tell you that every time I do that, I get a little more courage to do it again. And you see, you don't know that person who is waiting. Somebody's waiting to hear from you. God has entrusted you this message, and you know it. And I'm going to encourage you. God is encouraging you to start standing your ground. And one of the ways to stand your ground is to be always prepared to share the gospel of peace. Are you ready? Fourth, the shield of faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. A Roman soldier carried a shield which was pretty large. The shield was usually about 4 feet by 2 feet. It was a pretty large shield. It was made of wood and it was covered with tough leather. And you see, this shield could protect that Roman soldier from spears and arrows and from fiery darts. We're not talking here about saving faith. The faith that is being spoken about here is what we would call living faith. It's one thing to be saved, but it's another thing. You see, we have to live by faith. We walk by faith. You see, we have to have a trust in the promises and power of God. Amen? You know, in Paul's days, arrows were dipped in some flammable substance, and then they would ignite that arrow that it was dipped in flammable substance, and then they would shoot it at the enemy. And Satan is still shooting fiery darts at you. Have you ever been in church sometimes and you're listening to the message and you're just thinking about the wonderful, oh, what a wonderful Savior. And all of a sudden, a little sinful thing pops into your mind. You see, because these fiery darts come sometimes when you least expect. All of a sudden, he hits you with something. All of a sudden, you just left prayer meeting, rejoicing in the goodness of God. And as you hit the road, the devil reminds you about all the prayers you've been praying, and he hasn't answered your prayer yet. You start seeing how you're sick and you haven't been healed yet. Somehow the devil has a way to shoot us with all these fiery darts to make us feel discouraged. You're on top of the mountain and all of a sudden you feel discouraged about something. The fiery dart, they come all of a sudden. But thank God for the shield of faith. Thank God that we can have this confidence in God. Amen. We can have confidence in our God. And listen, sometimes that fiery dart will make you, because you messed up, the devil will make you feel, boy, God don't love you. You know, sometimes the devil actually comes to people and say, you lost your salvation. Too bad. Look at what you did. You ain't no Christian. Look at what you did. And we can have the confidence of 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is living faith, the shield of faith. It puts out all the fiery darts, all the worries, all the doubts, all the challenges, all the temptation that might pop into our mind. It will deal with it. Fifth, the helmet of salvation. Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation speaks of a mind controlled by God. Amen. Too often folks come to church just for an emotional high. I've had my friends and they would say to me sometimes, boy, we had church today. And I'd say to them, so what you learned? They said, I don't know what I learned, but I know we had church. We had church. We sure enough had church. Now don't get me wrong. Because the speakers we invite here, we are trusting God to use them and to so work by his Holy Spirit that the message of God will inflame your heart. Amen. Don't ever go say, GCA don't want my heart inflamed. We want the Spirit of God to so burn in us that we want to shout hallelujah. Amen. And it's okay to shout hallelujah. It's okay to say praise the Lord. Amen. Because the Spirit of God is at work, it's okay. So some of you come to me and said, I'm so scared to say praise the Lord because nobody else is saying it. Well, if the Spirit of God wants you to say praise the Lord, why do you need somebody else to say praise the Lord? Am I making any sense? You go ahead, it's okay. No, don't go on and on and on till I can't preach now. Balance here. We don't want to wait 10 minutes for you to settle down so everybody else can hear what God has to say. But listen, if the Spirit of God says something to you and you want to say hallelujah, it's okay to go ahead.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
But I was trying to make the point that when we leave church, our hearts ought to be inflamed. And if you can come to church every week and your heart is not inflamed, something is wrong. But listen, our hearts should be inflamed, but our minds should be informed. You should never have to leave church wondering. What did he say? Did he say anything? Our minds ought to be informed. Listen. For our intellect is vitally important for our spiritual growth and victory. Your intellect, your mind is critical. It's not just about the experience. It's not just about the emotion. The emotion is good, but our intellect, God wants to be in control of our intellect. Put this in your note. When God controls the mind, Satan cannot lead the believer astray. Oh, you said, Pastor, are you sure that it really cannot? Yes, it cannot. If God is in control of the mind. When God controls the mind, Satan cannot lead the believer astray. And it is a tragedy that some Christians have no idea what they believe. And so they are blown around by every wind of doctrine. One minute they're studying with the Christians. The next minute they're studying with the Jehovah's Witness. Then they go to the Mormons. Then they go to the Muslims. And then they come back around and they say, oh, we're all preaching the same thing. No, we're not all preaching the same thing. Hebrews chapter 5. And here's what it says in Hebrews 5, verses 12 to 14. For though by this time you ought to be a teacher, oh, somebody here ought to be a teacher by now. You've been saved so many years, you ought to be teaching somebody. But it says you ought to be a teacher, but you need someone to teach you again. And he looked, did you see what it's saying? You need somebody to teach you the ABCs, the first principles of the oracles of God. You're not growing. God wants to control your mind, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's still a little baby. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. When God has control of our mind, when we take time to study God's word and hide it in our hearts, we will be able, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to discern both good and evil. And so this morning, God is talking to us. He's talking to somebody here. You've been a Christian for a long time, and you still don't know very much. We are doing everything we can to make sure that you have opportunities to grow. But you've got to take the effort. You've got to take the time to say, I am going to avail myself of the opportunities to learn God's word. I am going to take advantage of the opportunity that God's word is in my mind, that I know the doctrines of the Bible, and that I am growing, and that I can be a teacher. Our minds will never be controlled by God if we don't make time to study. Sixth, the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Attached to the Roman soldier's belt was a short sword which he used for close combat. And the word of God is our sword. Whereas a soldier's sword pierced the body, the word of God pierces the heart. It not only pierces the heart of somebody else, but it pierces our own heart. And in Hebrews 4:12, I'm going to put it on the screen so we can all see it in the same version. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. And I want you to know, my brother and sister, the word of God will expose your innermost thoughts and my most innermost thoughts. And as I hide God's word in my heart, It not only helps me to witness, it helps me to live right, because the word of God which I have hidden in my heart will expose my own sin. It will expose where I am falling far short. May God help us to take this seriously. Listen, if we're going to stand our ground, we must know the strategy of our enemy. We must know the sufficiency of our equipment. And finally, we must know the source of our energy. Ephesians 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Listen, our energy, this prayer, it is not only helping us, it's helping others as I pray for others. It's good to have our armor, but the armor has little use unless the soldier has energy to stand up. Amen? Prayer is the energy that enables the Christian soldier to wear the armor and wield the sword. E.M. Bounds said, what the church needs today is not better equipment or new organizations, but men and women whom the Holy Ghost can use. Men and women mighty in prayer. Are you mighty in prayer? Many Christians believe there's power in prayer, but few Christians spend much time in prayer. May God challenge us afresh this morning as we have looked at this very special armor he has given us. And now, as we talk about the energy that he has given us to fight. When Amalek attacked Israel in Exodus 17, and you can look that up when you go home. Some of you remember this story. Moses went to the mountaintop to pray with the rod of God in his hand. So Moses was on the mountaintop praying. Joshua was in the valley with the sword fighting Amalek. And you remember what happened? Who can help remember? Remember what happened? When Moses went up to the, as a sign of his dependence on God, Moses held the rod of God up in his hand. But after a while, he got what? And his hand went down. And what happened? Amalek started winning. And so eventually, what ended up happening was that Aaron and Hur came and they lifted up, they propped up Moses' hand. Anybody remember that story? They propped up Moses' hand. Sometimes I need somebody to prop up my hand. And that's why it's good for us to come together to prayer meeting. Because sometimes we got to hold somebody's hand up. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Listen, Aaron and Hur held his hand up as he held his hand in dependence to God. He held his hands up. And when they held his hands up, the Amalek was defeated. Amalek was not defeated just because of the sword. Amalek was defeated because Moses was up there holding his hand up to God in dependence and in prayer to God. Listen, there is victory. Listen, spiritual energy, spiritual vitality comes through prayer. And my God, help us this morning as he challenges us to stand our ground. Might he challenge us not only to be aware of the devil's strategy, might he help us also to be aware of the fact that we have an armor. But might we seize advantage of the energy that we can get through prayer. I'm done. Victory is available. I can stand my ground. You can stand your ground. But you gotta take the whole armor of God. You see, it's not a buffet. You don't get to pick and choose and say, okay, well, I got this, and I got this, and I got this. He says, take the whole armor of God, all six components. If we don't have all six, I wonder if there's somebody here this morning who would say, God, I want to stand my ground, but I need your help.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.